talking about like kind of random stuff we got into in high school. One time I won first place in our district-wide forensics competition.
Okay.
Which was
forensics.
Well, it's called forensics, but it's like a drama and like monologue type thing. It's
that's
odd. I've never figured out why it's called that.
I've forensics seen CSI, CSI yeah. and they don't do that.
I know. Yeah, I've never figured out this connection.
They're even actors, and they're not doing that.
Right.
The monologue about blood spatter analysis.
I don't even remember.
You know, I've not interacted or had need for forensics, you know, people very often. But if they came out, we'd love a monologue as they're kind of, you know.
Right. As they're, like, figuring out how you died.
As they're analyzing what's underneath my fingernails. I would love, you know.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Blurst. Callback. Welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday podcast. This is Patrick Nozdok. With me, as always, Pastor Dave Bowser.
Beyond Sunday podcast?
I don't know.
How are you doing, Patrick?
It's been a long day.
Right? Yeah.
Did you say your thing?
I did. Okay. I said, how are you doing, Patrick?
No, you said your thing.
And Elise McCarter.
Still here. Still pretty successful.
Do we need to redo that?
No, we're good. Look, if you expect more, that's on you.
Yeah. Happy New Year, everyone.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
This is our New Year episode coming out. First episode of January 2000. 25.
Yeah.
Didn't think we were going to make it, but here we are.
Maybe we didn't.
Could be.
Peek behind the curtain. We're still pre-recording for Patrick's time away. It's possible we didn't make it. We don't know. Maybe this podcast is the last thing that anyone ever finds of the human
race.
Just,
aliens will be finding this podcast and trying to piece together what a forensics monologue is.
I love that for them. Take that, aliens. We don't know either.
Everything else in the world is destroyed, but this survives. This alone.
Yeah. All right. So typically on the first Monday of the month, we do an episode about the Bible.
We have been doing that pattern, yes.
So we are still going to continue.
Yeah.
For at least now. I don't know if the whole year will be this.
But
and I don't know. I don't even know if 2 months will be this theme, but this theme is for now.
Yeah.
But we'll be doing some weird stories in the Bible.
Yeah.
Or weird characters, really, is what we're kind of chasing.
Today is weird characters. We might do weird stories another week.
Yeah, because there's a lot of weird stories that have, like, unnamed characters.
Yeah.
And so, like, but these are characters. Named characters.
Are you, like, giving us criteria now? Your character must be named.
Yeah, they must be.
Have at least three sentences.
My goodness.
I had a few that I were like, that's fine, but it's like one sentence.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Yeah, sure.
Well,
yeah.
Two of mine are one sentence.
Love it.
Yeah.
That's okay.
How many did you come with? You have two.
Three, actually. Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Overachiever.
What is this?
We might not get to all
new
three.
Year, new Elise.
Save that for February. We might come back with that. Yeah.
All right. We were talking about bacon fat before we started.
Yeah, we were.
And I got a fat. We got an animal fat story here.
Oh, is it a fat animal or is it like the
the fat of an animal?
Fat bear. Fat of an animal. Okay.
Yes. I think of fat animals too. When you think of animals, these are fat animals. All right. New Mexico State University researchers are testing out a new mosquito repellent.
Okay.
All right. Bacon fat.
We all hate mosquitoes.
Yes.
I do. Yeah.
So I'm anti. I'm pro repellent.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Anything that gets them away, I'm on board with.
Anything?
Well, maybe not this one.
We're about to find out.
They're testing rancid animal fat.
Rancid fat. Yes. Excellent.
So you're like,
the best kind of fat.
Have we tried animal fat? You're like, no, I don't know. Rancid animal fat.
Okay, this is not new. The Native Americans used to slather themselves in this.
This is what they reference. So they're testing it out.
Seeing if they knew what was up.
Yeah.
You know, everything that was old is new again.
Yeah.
There you go.
So they're testing different fats from animals, including bears and pigs.
Sure.
Typically, you know, fatter animals, right?
Yeah.
I think bears are like real greasy.
Fat Bear Week. That's a thing.
Yeah.
Fat Bear Week is a wonderful thing. It's truly a gift.
I love Fat Bear Week.
It is surpassed Shark Week. Yeah. You know, Shark Week is great. Fat Bear Week better. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Heard it here first, folks.
Yeah, it's controversial takes. We're not afraid to push the boundaries here on Beyond Sunday.
Loud and proud.
Not afraid. All those other podcasts, they're afraid.
That's right.
They're kowtowing to the Discovery Channel. Not us.
Pansies.
Fat Bear Week first.
You're welcome, National Park Service. Yeah,
when I run for office, it'll be a platform built on Fat Bear Week.
Fat Bear Week.
The campaign lasts for 1 week.
Yeah, sure. Obviously,
if that's enough momentum, it should be. Right? If not, it is what it is.
You know? What else are you going to do about it?
Maybe I'm expanding. Fat Bear Month.
Whoa. Let's not put that cart before that horse.
Yeah. All right. We're testing animal fats.
Rancid animal fat.
Does this keep away mosquitoes? Yeah. And it, rancid.
How rancid does it have to be?
That's a great question. Here's some of the research. We're not really sure what the active ingredient is in rancid animal fat and why rancidity would make a difference. And if it's making our scent, if it's masking our scent or if it's repelling them. They don't know anything. These are scientists. These are scientists lathering themselves with fat.
I know.
And they're like, what are we supposed to do? I don't know.
Do we hug but now?
We're not getting bit by mosquitoes, right. So I guess it works. Right.
They're probably indoors.
Right. They're like, yep, no mosquitoes in here.
Yeah. All
right. Yeah. The fats did not work on the tick.
Oh.
Okay.
Ticks see through your fat or smell through your fat or something.
They're on board. You know, they're
ticks
like,
don't care. Tick got no boss.
Maybe tick is like, animal fat, I'm on board
right,
with this.
That's yummy.
Well, bonus meal.
Right. Yeah. That's an unintended consequence. Keeps away mosquitoes, attracts ticks.
Yeah, because they tested how long it takes for a mosquito to take a bite. And we also did ticks to see how long a tick takes to climb up their forearm to take a bite.
I guess not very long.
I mean, is this like the scientists themselves like just lathering their arm with fat and just like putting a mosquito there?
Probably.
Yeah.
How does one become a... You know, a test subject.
All the other research projects were taken.
Yeah.
They came in late.
Yeah.
Yeah, fats did not work in the tick, but the study did find rancid alligator fat repelled mosquitoes for more than 2 hours.
That's not long enough.
Like, if I'm going to grease myself up.
It's going to take me 2 hours just to wash that off. I'm going to need
more than two hours.
I'm going to agree. Offwoods cutter, the spray promises 8 hours. On the can.
Right. It does.
It'll also like melt your like hardwood floors, but
I'm not gonna put it on my hardwood floor.
You don't like spray inside before you walk outside though?
No, spray outside.
Spray outside. I don't want my house smelling like that stuff.
You put your fat on outside.
I don't want to damage my
right.
I don't want to damage my hardwood floors. I want to damage my lungs and my skin like a normal human being, not my hardwood floors.
New project now. Rancid plant oils.
Okay.
We tried the animal
for
fat.
For the veggie lovers.
For the vegans out there. Who are like, I like the animal fat rubbed all over my body. What you got in plant, right? Is your lab grown animal fat meat?
Right. Yeah. Right.
Beyond burger rancid meat, yeah.
Beyond rancid.
All right, so what do we think? Are you going to be...
I will not be
slathering
up. Are
you putting animal fat on your body?
I will not be.
Yeah, probably not. Nope. Probably not. I feel like that wouldn't be very good for my acne.
Probably not. And yeah, only 2 hours. I think, you know, it's going to need to promise more. I need at least like, hey, first of the month, you're good for the month kind of a thing.
You need a month out of this?
Can you imagine?
It's animal fat. Rancid animal fat.
Yeah, but you're going to take a shower at some point.
Yeah, no Can you problem. Imagine the sound you would make? Just like... walking and moving around in animal fat.
Good news about rancid animal fat people. It not only keeps mosquitoes away, also your fellow humans.
Right.
That might be
dating?
Actually...
Don't even worry about it.
That actually might be even more appealing.
For the introverts among us, repel all things.
And then, you know what's my find more annoying? People. Mosquitoes, you know, I could learn to live with.
Because guarantee that rancid animal fat will keep people away for longer than 2 hours.
Something's different about you. Alligator fat.
There it is.
Rancid, though. Don't forget. Leave it out in the sun. Mm-hmm. All right. Now we're going to get to the Bible.
Weird guys in the Bible. Or ladies.
Yeah, well.
That's our new theme song. with the or ladies tag on.
Is it?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I am going to be honest. I did not choose a lady.
I also did not choose a lady.
Elise.
I didn't choose a lady.
Dang it.
All the ladies are too normal. They're all like...
It doesn't pass the Bechdel test.
Yeah, that's true. There's not enough women to have weird women in the Bible.
And I don't want to like disparage the women that are in the Bible by calling them the weird.
I'll tell you what. If we do this again, I'm going to bring some ladies next time.
Well, we can do like ladies of the Bible. We can just do a ladies of the Bible podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that one.
And calendar.
Miss March.
It only has 8 months.
You're right. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, when it gets to like the last part of the Bible, we've got like, here's a woman that covered Jesus' feet with perfume.
That's right.
Unnamed.
Okay. Does the Whore of Babylon in Revelation, does that count? Is that?
It probably does.
Probably was a lady. So we'll take it.
All right. Weird characters.
Yeah, weird characters of the Bible.
We might do a weird stories in the Bible, too.
We might, yeah. That might come
weird
later.
Weird characters in the Bible. All right, I will throw in a woman there. I'll give her one of mine.
Okay.
Do a lady.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
Who wants to go first?
Elise came with the most, so I think she
I did. I'm
going to
rely on you guys for like discussion on this because
yeah,
I didn't like kind of deep dive.
All right, who you got?
So my first one, we'll start chronologically.
Genesis.
Yes, yeah, so it's going to be a combination
Adam?
Of Enoch and
Ooh.
Methuselah.
Enoch and Methuselah, okay.
Yeah, so what I know about these people, basically, are that Enoch was ostensibly taken up to heaven without dying.
It is implied.
It is
yeah.
implied that. And then his son, I believe, Methuselah,
mm-hmm.
which is why I decided to group them together, is also implied to have been the longest lived person ever.
Correct. And Methuselah's son will be Noah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So like it's like 900 something years that like.
Yeah, so
some
here
people
we go.
Think it's a mistranslation, but it's implied.
So yeah. This is in Genesis chapter 5, mm-hmm. starting at verse 21, for anyone who's playing along at home. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after the birth of Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him. So that is... He was no more, right? So that's part one. Methuselah lived 187 years, became father. Da, 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 da. Thus, all the days of Methuselah
Bit
were
of
969 years, and he died.
Did God take him?
It does not say he did. So that,
look,
that,
if you're living 969 years, God doesn't want you.
So
right.
Like, I'm good.
That's like rancid animal fat.
Like, you know, we're good up here.
Yeah.
So in chapter 5. In chapter 5 of Genesis, we're getting Adam's descendants mm-hmm. Listed kind of one after another. We're getting this kind of pattern that you just heard repeated over and over with these different people. It's going to lead up to Noah. And each person ends with, this is how many years he lived, and he died. This is how many years he lived, and he died. Enoch, it was no more because God took him, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's where the question comes from. It's a pattern that's repeated, and then the pattern is broken. Yeah. And then, yeah, Methuselah comes in there with 969 years.
And in the Adam to Noah kind of narrative, which is not that long.
And sorry, Methuselah is the grandfather to Noah.
Okay.
Yeah. There's one more generation there. Yeah.
All right. They're not a lot of good guys.
There's not. Yeah. Not a lot of...
We got Abel and presumably Enoch, who walks with God.
Yep.
You know? So
That's
about it. You know, so not a lot of good things going on in the early world here. But yeah, okay. This is interesting. Enoch, if you say Enoch was taken to heaven by God, did not die, just taken to heaven.
Yep.
He's one of two people that this happens to.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So
him and Elijah.
Him and Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Elijah gets a fiery chariot.
That's pretty cool.
It sounds pretty awesome.
That
it gets
real
like a
does sound. That,
pretty detailed description of the fiery chariot.
Yeah.
Like, we get to hear a lot about it.
Like, it's not like Elisha, his protege, which they really should have worked on their names here.
Right. Sure, yeah.
Doesn't just like come back to the tribe and be like, hey, Elijah's gone. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
like
God took him.
He's no more.
Like, we really get like, this is what happens. And it's a
pretty
cool story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like this story. I think this is an interesting part of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It raises some interesting questions. Of,
yeah. Did someone live for 900 years?
You know,
did God take someone up?
That's more interesting to me, you know?
Yeah.
Because I think the 900 years is probably, I wouldn't say like, that's super accurate.
It feels like maybe our understanding of a year. Maybe.
Yeah, I think there's lots of reasons that 900 is maybe not what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very specific, though.
It
I mean, at least not like he lived a long time.
Yeah,
he sounds like he was relatively
super
old. Yeah,
he was very old.
He's super old, that Methuselah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oldest of all the olds.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you think that like Enoch being taken up? Do you think that has like a special implication of like Enoch's blip? Because this is never mentioned again, right? It's
right.
not like
it's such a weird blip to me. And
Jesus never mentions
those.
Just as like Jesus will reference Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
And people will develop kind of this promise of Elijah's going to come back because Elijah never died. Like that's
right.
kind of part of the Jewish ethos and belief system, right? That Elijah mm-hmm. is returning. So there's even at the Passover meal, you leave a space for Elijah, right? Because
mm-hmm.
Elijah's going to return because mm-hmm. Elijah never died, right? But we
right.
never hear that about Enoch. So I'd be curious what like the Jewish midrash around Enoch is. Yeah. I haven't done that research.
How come Enoch's not invited to dinner?
It's a great question.
Right.
What's wrong with Enoch? I mean, like if you show up and like Enoch's there and he's like, is this table for me? You're gonna be, or this chair for me? Like,
nope. Sorry, man.
You're going to have a fiery chariot, though.
This is awkward,
maybe.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, just give it a couple minutes, see if Elijah shows up. You know, if he's not, if he doesn't come, it's for you.
Yeah, you
can have it. Yeah. You know, like, but, you know.
Just give him 10 minutes, right?
Yeah.
We got to make sure, you know, if he does come, it'd be really awkward to ask you to get up.
Right.
It's easier to just never sit.
Right. Exactly.
There's so many of these weird blips in Genesis, too, where it's
there are
a sentence, part of a sentence that mentions.
Yeah.
So, like, the angels mating with giants of men, and like, no more there. Yeah,
but there's a couple times in the Bible you're like, if you were the editor of this Bible, you're like, tell me more, right? Like, you write that in the margin.
I think the real story is here, sir.
Expand on this, right?
That's right.
All right, do you want to go around or do you want to go all through Elise's first? What do you want?
Well, let's go around because we might not get to all of ours. Like, maybe we have a good conversation. We come back for another month. So I got another Genesis one. I don't know where your next one is, but mine stays in Genesis.
Two from Judges.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Double Judge. Okay.
Work out well.
So my next one is also from Genesis. This fast forwards a little bit in the story. We're up to chapter 14. Just for our context here, Abram has been called out of his homeland. He's traveling to the promised land. His nephew Lot has come along for the ride. If you know anything about Lot, causes a lot of problems. At no point is Lot like the winning character. He's pretty much always like gotten himself into trouble, got involved in Sodom, tried to send out his daughters to, you know, protect other, anyway, all sorts of great things that Lot was not supposed to do. So that's what happened. Lot was taken captive by some other people and needed rescued. And so Abram went and rescued him, won this big battle, and that's where our story picks up here. And our character is going to be Melchizedek. And so this is Genesis chapter 14, sorry, verse 17. After Abram's return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer, and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shava, that is the king's valley, and King Melchizedek of Salem brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of God Most High. He blessed Abraham and said to him, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, maker of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And Abram gave him one-tenth of everything. So here we have this priest, Melchizedek, who kind of comes out of nowhere, is a priest of God Most High, which is a reference to Yahweh, who supposedly is like the one that Abram's been working with. So like, how did this guy know about Yahweh? And he's never mentioned again until we get to Hebrews.
Yeah.
And in the book of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews lays out that Jesus is a priest in the order of Melchizedek as opposed to the order of the Levites, which gets into all sorts of Jewish law and Jewish practice, but essentially saying Jesus' priesthood even older than the Levites. And that's where Jesus comes from.
Okay.
So there we go. Melchizedek. Huh.
Yeah. This is definitely interesting stuff. Is God revealing, you know, himself to other people? Mm-hmm. Like, he's revealing himself to Abraham. And we just get, like, Abraham is the story that survives kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, but it's not the only one, you know, this is certainly suggesting that, you know, like that Abraham's family is just the one that we follow. But, but God was not putting all his chips on Abraham, so to speak, you know.
Right.
So, like, I think there's some interesting stuff here.
Yeah. There are also some Christians who point to this as a revealing of Jesus in the Old Testament, that Melchizedek is not Jesus, but Melchizedek is a reflection of God in flesh. And that's why Abram recognizes God in Melchizedek's flesh and gives him the tenth. The tenth is also like the tithe, right? And so it's that reflection of this is, I'm acknowledging God in the flesh here. Mm-hmm. This isn't just a priest that I'm coming across, but this is God.
Yeah.
I don't know that I fully subscribe to that theory, but it's an interesting thing. Like, okay, does this point to Jesus in some way that we perhaps would not have thought originally?
Okay.
Melchizedek.
Melchizedek. Who knew?
Or Melchizedek, if you prefer, but Melchizedek is a more accurate.
Yeah.
Like that one.
Yeah.
All right. I am in the book of Judges. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk about our lady for the day.
All right.
So, yeah. I pivoted.
Let's see. Lady Judges. Ruth. Jail. Ooh, Jail.
Deborah.
It's Jail.
Jail's a good one.
Okay. J-A-E-L. Jail.
So all of our cabins at the camp that I used to work at were named after characters of the Bible. One of them was Jail. And it was off to the side and like beaten down and kind of dilapidated because it had fallen into disrepair. And so we, anyway, tell the story.
Was it a lady cabin?
We didn't have, cabins were different. Yeah. Okay. Every week. Yeah.
All right. So in the book of Judges, they have heroes rise and fall, basically, is the story of the book. And so Jael is one of these heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And she's connected to the other big lady in the Bible, Deborah.
Mm-hmm.
So Deborah and her army, and she has a commander, but I can't remember his name.
Gideon. Is it a Gideon?
No, Gideon's his own dude.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
She's got her, it's, you know,
You're
She's
right.
kind of the leader, but she has a commander of the army.
Yeah.
So
I'll find him. You keep talking. I'll find him.
Well, anyway, they are fighting the Canaanites. And
as you do.
And they, a repeating pattern.
Right.
They
in the Book of Judges.
rout the Canadian, the Canaanite army.
The Canadians.
Army. They rout the Canadians. Yeah, they're getting that maple syrup.
Right.
You know, the Mounties. Right. Yeah. And Sisera, who is their commander, flees. Mm-hmm. Runs away. In the middle of this route. And he comes to this tent of jail.
Barak. That is his name. Sorry. Barak is his name.
Mm. Okay. Barak.
Yeah.
It's her commander, not the guy that's fleeing.
Yeah, Sisera.
Yes. Deborah and Barak are kind of the leaders of the army. Yeah.
Okay. There you go. Sisera is the commander. And he flees to jail's tent and is basically like, you got to let me stay here.
Yeah. Protect me. Yeah.
Like, you got to let me in. They're going to kill me. Come on. And she's like, yeah, sure. Come on in. And she's like, here. Drink some milk. And here's a blankie.
No.
And he takes a nap.
Snuggle up.
And then she kills him.
With?
A tent peg.
Through the temple.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. She drives a tent peg through his skull.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Until it went down to the ground. So like.
Yeah, she like nailed him to the ground.
Yes.
Yeah.
Intense.
She's, you know, thorough.
Yeah.
That's fair.
We call that a honey trap. Here's some milk and a blankie.
Yeah.
Bam.
Yeah. So this is a great story. Really interesting
it
stuff.
Is, yeah.
I mean, if you're like, I want to open my Bible and I want to read a really interesting story in the Bible that kind of sounds like Game of Thrones, Judges is going to be a great bet. Like,
yeah.
We got a lot of blood. My next one is also be from Judges, and it's going to be bloody here too.
Yeah.
So,
there's some good stories for that that vein in the Book of Kings as well, Second Kings in particular. But so this is Judges 4. End of Judges 4 is where we're at. And the piece that always fascinates me about this, it all starts because Barak doesn't just go when Deborah tells him to go. He's like, I'll only go if you go with me. And Deborah's like, okay, but because you said that, this Sisera, this military leader, is going to be delivered in the hands of a woman, and you're not going to get the glory of killing this military leader. And everybody kind of assumes, oh, it's going to be Deborah. Deborah's going to do it. And it's not Deborah. It's this a foreigner, ostensibly. Like, Jael is ostensibly not a Jew, or not an Israelite at this point. And, yeah. Kills him with a tent peg.
Yes.
After lulling him to sleep with a glass of warm milk and a blankie.
Yeah.
She's the wife of Heber the Kenite.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She's a Kenitean.
For all that means for us.
Canadian. It's, it's,
she's a Canadian.
The forefathers of the Canadians.
They seem so nice. I can't imagine them driving tent pegs through people's temples.
Hey, don't mess with their maple syrup, man.
Do you think she said, oop? She did it.
What are you talking about?
Yes.
Let's have some mayonnaise with our fries.
Maybe she apologized. She's just, sorry.
Oh, so sorry. As she drives the tent peg through his head.
Do what needs doing.
I think we've got an idea for a new murder mystery sitcom situation here. Yeah.
I bet she sang a monologue after this, her forensics monologue.
That's probably it. Yeah.
Yeah. But they do like to sing a little song, do a little monologue after, highlight all their stuff. All right.
Great.
What we got?
Okay. So when I was thinking about weird characters in the Bible, it's got to be one of the prophets.
Mm, okay.
It was a little hard to choose.
There are some crazy prophets.
All weird.
So did you choose the guy who marries a prostitute?
Sure.
That's a good one too. Yeah.
Guy who orders a bear to maul a group of children.
Also a good one.
Maybe he also did that. But anyway, I picked Ezekiel.
We know who you picked. So, that's
So kind of a short list that I have of Ezekiel's accomplishments.
Oddities.
He ate a scroll.
Sure, as one does.
He lay on
that
one.
That might have been in a vision. It's unclear.
Really?
I think the eating of the scroll might have been in a vision.
Look.
It's so weird. I'm not. Yeah.
Got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. Right.
The guy's like, give me that scroll. What are you going to do? You got to eat the scroll. Yeah.
You can't have it.
No one can have it.
Right.
It's like, if you lick the cookie
that
your sibling wants, take
it. About it. Yep.
You can eat it now.
Yeah. Right. He lay on one side for 390 days.
Sure.
Like straight?
Does he just like lay there, or does he like get up and then lays on that same side every? Because I lay on the same side every night when I go to bed.
I'm a side sleeper.
Yeah.
Right.
Now,
does he have a knee pillow? Because I do.
How comfy was that knee pillow?
I would want a knee pillow. I'm like on one slide for 390 days.
You think Ezekiel's like a my pillow guy?
Probably not a my pillow.
Maybe
guy.
A body pillow.
Yeah.
I could see like he's got like the leg and arm draped around
That's
it.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, look, if he has Netflix, I get it. You only got lay on your side for 39 days.
Okay, so he lays on his side for a long time. Mm-hmm. What else did he do?
He cooked his food over a fire of poop.
Sure.
Sure, yeah.
Which I think was unusual at the time.
And
from
now.
What I've gathered, yeah. I don't know.
Actually.
That might be unusual always.
In the ancient days, after they rubbed the rancid animal fat on themselves.
Right. And probably like the weirdest kind of like short story we get about him is where he prophesies over dry bones that then come to life.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
And maybe sees aliens.
Maybe. Tough to say. Could go either way.
Something.
He does
Wheel
see
in
something.
The sky.
Wheel in the sky.
Yeah.
Like a UFO.
Like
wheel in the sky.
Like the Journey song.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Yep. Yeah,
good old Ezekiel.
Yeah.
Ezekiel's great. Mm-hmm. I love Ezekiel, but it's crazy town.
It's like not, it's not a easy read.
It's not like your entry level prophet.
No. You want entry level, you're talking Isaiah, Jeremiah, like
I think you're talking Jonah. It's four chapters long.
I mean
it's a narrative.
Yeah, it's fair, yeah. But Jonah, like as far as like prophet go, like Jonah's in the prophets, but Jonah's
not
like,
he says like one sentence.
Yeah.
That's his prophecy.
Yeah, if you're looking for like prophet, how do I get into prophet? Isaiah's an easy read. Yeah. Like it's big, but it's an easy
He was naked for a lot of that though.
Isaiah?
Mm-hmm.
Aren't we all? I mean, come on. We come into this world naked. We leave this world naked. What are we going to do?
Do you leave this world naked?
Is
this your plan?
Yeah.
Is it not your plan? It seems.
Typically, every funeral I've been to, that person's been clothed.
Listen,
right.
By the time you're having my funeral, I am long gone from this world, all right? That's
usually something has gone wrong if you're naked when you die.
Or right.
Yeah. Right.
I've never been to a funeral where like, open casket, and we mean open.
Right. Let's put it all out there.
All right. All right, foolish people. Speaking of the end times, are we speaking of the end times?
Sure.
Are we?
Yeah.
We are now.
Do you have one in Revelation?
My character comes from Revelation.
Okay.
So I've been reading some Revelation lately because I was leading a class on it. But this is Revelation chapter 19. This is the rider on the white horse. Mm. And so this is like the salvation comes, a portion of Revelation. Yeah. And so I want to.
Stand off.
Yeah. On the third day, look to the east.
Yeah. Shadow facts.
Basically.
Yeah.
Show me the meaning of haste.
I'll read it real fast. How's that sound?
We're going to keep making Lord of the Rings references.
Keep going. Revelation 19, verse 11. Then I saw heaven opened, and there was a white horse. Its rider is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judges the and makes war. His eyes are like flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name inscribed that no one knows but himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, wearing linen white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod like iron.
Okay.
There you go. The white horse. Or the rider on the white horse.
Yeah.
I particularly like the sword image, because I came across something that I learned about this, and I think this is useful for us.
Okay, so first I'm going to say...
Yeah.
Let's theorize. Why does he have a sword in his mouth before you give us the real answer?
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Why does he got a sword in his mouth? What's he got?
Well, you know.
No arms.
He's like Stephen Hawking.
Can't hold me back.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't say he couldn't use his arms. I said no arms.
All right. I like it. I like the no arm strategy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing on here that says he has arms. He's got eyes like flame and diadems. Arms are not specified.
Yeah.
There's a name that's written on his thigh, but that is not an arm. That's different.
I mean, yeah. So they
is he maybe like the Mongol raiders that would like hold their knife in their teeth while they were like shooting their bows and
that's
riding
possible.
Their horses?
Yeah.
I like, you got one hand on the reins.
Yeah.
And your knife in your teeth.
And then the sword in the mouth.
Yeah.
And then the other hand to wave.
Come on.
For high fives.
Right.
I love it. All right, so the real theoretical reason, right? Because, I mean, this is all theory, right? This is all symbolism, so people are... But so the interpretation that I've been reading that I think is really helpful is that because it's coming from his mouth, our understanding is that the sword is actually the word that he's preaching. The sword is the witness.
That sounds more accurate.
Right? Yeah. And so Jesus comes, right? Ostensibly, this character is Jesus. Jesus comes and wields a sword that is his faithful testimony, and it is the faithful testimony to God that slaughters the enemy, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not actually a victory of violence. It's a victory of testifying truly to who God is.
Yeah.
And I find that powerful. Mm-hmm. Plus the flame of eye, or eyes of flame thing seems real cool.
It's awesome.
I'd like to have that.
Yeah. Isn't this where we get that like Jesus is tattooed as well?
Yeah, it's where he's got a word on his, or I didn't read that part, sorry. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name inscribed, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
He's a thigh tattoo guy.
It's a pretty sick tattoo, right? Mm-hmm. You get King of Kings down the side of your thigh. That's
right.
I think he also has our names tattooed on him in one part of the Bible too. Mm. Yeah, maybe not here.
Not in this part.
Yeah. What kind of sword is it? You know, Like, if I'm holding it in my mouth, I assume, like, a short sword. You know, I don't want, well, you know, like, so, a great, like, Braveheart sword, like a long sword. You know,
yeah,
like,
ostensibly the same.
That's a lot of jaw strength, is all I'm saying. You know, like,
ostensibly the same writer appears at the beginning of Revelation, and there it's described as a two-edged sword.
Ouch.
But so you assume that you're like.
So it's not a samurai.
You're right. Not a samurai. I assume you're like
Darth Maul.
The hilt is in your mouth. Not a two-edged lightsaber. A sword that is sharpened on both sides.
Yeah,
of the
sword. So it's not a samurai.
A broadsword. Yeah, yeah, right.
So if you don't get that just right.
I think you're holding the hilt and it's going like straight out from your mouth.
Okay. Well, what about your horse's head?
Well, you got to hold
like
it up.
You like accidentally take it off, like oops.
I mean, in Tangled, the horse does hold a sword with his mouth.
Yeah,
I think, you know, so.
And like fights off people with it.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're talking about.
I think this is what. The image I'm getting. Tangled is, you know,
Tangled
the next book of the Bible.
Right. Tangled is fulfillment of Revelation.
Let's call
prophecy.
Another church council. Can we get Tangled in canon? Yeah.
Yes, let's do it. The Council of the Woodlands of 2025. And there a book was added. All right.
What's your last one?
All right. Ehud.
Ehud, yeah.
Another story. Is it Ehud? Ehud?
I say Ehud. I don't know.
E-H-U-D. Yeah. At least what would you say? E-H-U-D.
Ehud.
Ehud. Okay, that's with me. Point in my favor. All right, so
great. I still say Ehud.
This is of you know the Book of Judges has a lot of fun little stories about warriors and things like that. Mm-hmm. This is my favorite one of them.
This is a great one.
So Ehud is an assassin, and the Bible wants you to know he's left-handed.
It's really important.
Okay.
Left-handed dude. If you're a left-handed guy, this is your guy in the Bible.
This is your thing.
This is it. You know, this is what you get.
Moment.
This is your moment, lefties.
So you want to take advantage. Yeah, and God is like, you're going to go kill that king. There's an enemy king.
Go kill him.
And he's going to go kill him.
I forget, is the king's name like Og or something stupid like that?
No. Og is the giant who sleeps on a big bed.
I know, but it's something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Grog.
Don't worry, we get one detail about the king, but I'm not there yet.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I'm excited.
I won't say it.
Yeah, all right. So he straps a sword to his inner thigh on the right side. Of his inner thigh, and
which
so
is
he can
not
grab it
so he can grab it with his left hand easily
because a righty wouldn't grab it from there.
Okay,
a cross body, yeah, and so presumably when they're searching, would be people to come talk to the king. They would search the other side because obviously a left-handed person
doesn't exist.
Yeah, they've had that beaten out of them as a child,
right?
You know?
Like,
so they don't have to be worried about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so he comes to the king. And he leans in and says, King, I have a message for you. Pulls up the sword and stabs him in the stomach.
Eglon.
Eglon
is
the,
yeah.
And this is where the interesting part of the story. The king is super fat.
Super fat. Really fat.
And the Bible again is like, the sword goes in, and what do we say? In all the way, and hilt and all shoved into his body, and then Ehud flees.
The fat closed over the blade, for he did not draw the sword out of his belly. And the dirt came out. I don't know what the dirt coming out is, but
that's poop, I bet.
Yeah. Sounds like it would be.
And Elijah's like, hey, what you got over there? Build a campfire? Yeah. I got s'mores. This
is kind of hungry. The dirt came out.
Yeah, and Ehud flees. And eventually, you know, the guards are like, should we go in? Should we check? The king's been in there a long time.
Right.
Yeah.
And they go in and find him dead.
Because Ehud did this kind of, assassin-y, right? So he got in there. He was alone with the king, was able to kill the king, disappeared the knife into his fat of the king, locked all the doors, went out through the roof. Like an assassin does.
Right. I mean, I wonder, like, would they have found the sword if it went all the way, like...
Maybe
you
they
know?
Did they do a forensics monologue autopsy?
Did they just think this guy, like, pooped himself to death? You know, like, if that was the, like, part that was out.
Could be.
The sword's hidden. Like, ooh.
Yeah. It's a great story, though. This is Judges chapter 3, in case anybody's looking this up. It's right before Deborah and Barak.
Yeah.
So you get this one, then you can go right into Deborah and Barak, and you get jails.
Our left-handed assassin.
Lefties. Yeah. Yeah. Rise up, lefties. Yes. You can do it.
Yeah, only against fat dudes, though, evidently. Yeah.
And against people who don't know to search both legs.
Yeah. Right. That seems a little bit like an oversight.
Yeah, rule number one of protecting your king, pat down both legs.
I'm going to be honest, even though I am right-handed, if I was going to be an assassin, I could get that sword.
Like I could figure it out.
Like, it's not like, oh, right leg, sword, right hand, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, bear with me, king. I gotta like lay down to figure this one out. like this, yeah. I'm gonna get it out. Like yeah. It's not that big of a right. deal. Like it's, you know,
it's a crazy world, man.
Yeah,
crazy world.
I guess right. they're like, this could never possibly happen.
Yeah. No, why would anybody put a sword over there?
On their inner right thigh. Yeah. That's lunacy.
That's ridiculous.
Right. Don't even bother to check.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't even like look like, what's that strap over there while I'm searching the left leg? No, I don't know.
Yeah, it's fine. It's,
yeah. Oh, man. Weird story. Weird characters of the Bible. There's some good ones. Thanks, guys. This was
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
I appreciate this. Good conversations all around.
Mm-hmm. The Bible is a weird book.
Great way yep. to start a new year, in my estimation.
Yeah.
Yep.
I actually am reading a book that I think I'm going to start thinking about Bible study on called
okay.
Strange Religion. Basically, like, the early Christian church is weird, and, like,
true.
We need to be, like, make Christianity weird again kind of a
ooh.
Thing, and I'm for it.
Where did that come? That's the thing. Like, be weird.
Make Austin weird. Make or Austin, keep Austin
yeah.
weird.
Keep
yeah.
Austin weird. That's it. Yeah.
And I'm for it. I think, you know, Christianity should be countercultural.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
like, when it is cultural, I think that's where we get wrong.
We should all be left-handed assassins.
You know, you lost me left-handed, but you brought me right back in on assassin. So
into it.
That's right. It's like how I said, we should all have broccoli covered in bacon. Right? Lost you, broccoli. Brought me back bacon. There you right. go.
Yeah.
I like broccoli just fine.
Yeah, I did too. I was thinking of a vegetable. That was the first vegetable that came to mind.
Oh, Brussels
like
sprouts? Broccoli. No.
What about covered in bacon?
No.
No, not even covered
no,
in bacon.
No,
wow.
No. Hate them.
I would go for a Brussels sprout wrapped in bacon.
I think they can be really good when they're like roasted with like honey and
nope.
stuff like that.
And bacon.
I bet they are, but I will never eat one.
On principle.
It's, you know.
I stand here
tried
before
it as
you.
A kid, threw up immediately,
ooh.
Never again.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Yeah. You got
fair.
One of those experiences.
Yeah.
Fair.
All right, well, on that, we'd love to hear your childhood trauma eating stories.
We wouldn't.
Tell us all the foods that you ate that made you throw up as a child.
Nope.
Or send us weird characters in the Bible that you like. We'd love to hear those. BeyondSundayPodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I hope it's off to a great start.
Yeah.
If it's not, no future alien overlords that the human race, we brought this on ourselves.
So. My resolution is to be like the Bible. Be weirder.
I like it.
I bet you're
yeah.
nailing it.
I feel good about it.
For yeah. once, I feel like that's a resolution you can achieve.
Yeah.
This is not just like, hey, I joined a gym and I went for, you know, 2 weeks. I dropped. I'm weird all
yeah.
year, baby.
Weird, yeah. Yeah. Weird, weird, weird.
Keep that weird going. Yeah.
There it is.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.